Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs with me, to Proverbs chapter 5. We're looking at the first nine chapters of Proverbs. And last week, we saw that there are four women in the first nine chapters of Proverbs that Solomon tries to teach his son about, Rehoboam. Rehoboam didn't listen Solomon and ruined his life by not listening to him. And all those hard lessons Solomon himself had to learn went to naught in his son. But these are the words of God. And adults and young people and children are called to listen to them and learn them and live by them. And so we look at Proverbs 5. We saw last time that he tells his son to honor his mother and to listen to her teaching all his days. And that God's will is that a son, and that would be a daughter as well, treat their mother with great carefulness and respect. That there never comes a time, if your mother has taught you the truth, that you can turn away from her teachings just because of your age. The second woman that is mentioned is beautiful wisdom, the personification of God's truth into a beautiful woman who is wise and loving and kind and teaches young men how to live. And the father and mother exhort their son, take hold of wisdom, embrace her as a beautiful woman to be the love of your mind and teach you how to live. For in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in embracing his word and him, God will bless your life and protect it from evil. Help you to overcome evil with good. This morning we look at the next two women, if I'm able to get to that in Proverbs. And those two women are first the woman of folly, the foolish woman, the woman who destroys her life and others along with it. And the second woman is a wonderful wife, a believing woman who loves God and loves her husband and children. And it's by teaching these two women in contrast that Solomon is trying to show Rehoboam how foolish it is to go after the foolish woman, that he must avoid that foolish woman at all costs in his life. And at the same time, there is a woman of virtue, a woman of faith, that will bring great joy to his life. Proverbs 5 is just one of the five places where the woman of folly is mentioned in these first nine chapters. And contrast the destruction that goes with her and the joy that goes with a man, a young man, who rejoices in the wife of his youth. Let's hear the word of God. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know. Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest strangers be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien, and you groan at your latter end, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined to my ear to my instructors. I am almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. He's speaking to believing young men, too. Drink water from your own cistern. A cistern is a well, boys and girls. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth as a loving hind and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that we have your inspired word, your Holy Spirit working in the minds and hearts of the writers of the Bible, like Solomon, that every word they uttered and brought to the Holy Bible is inspired and true. I pray that you would help the young men in this congregation and all of us men to understand this passage today and to avoid entanglements with the woman of folly. I pray that any here who have already done so would repent and turn to you for a new life, and any woman of folly here would believe in the redemption that is in Christ Jesus and the new life that he brings to those who have lived away from him. And I pray for the young women that they would turn from being such a woman and turn to being a woman of God, worthy of a young man's love and sacrifice, that they may have joy and walk with God in their life. Help us this morning to understand the scriptures that we may follow them. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of my great burdens for all of you young men and women is that you become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead and real. He has given us his truth to teach us how he thinks and what he's like. And his Spirit can come and give us a heart that hates sin and loves good, that repents and turns from self-rule and rebelliousness to Christ's rule and a life that loves God and loves others unselfishly. It is not just that I wish that you would be saved for eternal life in heaven, but also that God would bless your earthly life and you would find happiness on earth. For the Bible teaches that the only true happiness for man that is left on a fallen world is the happiness that comes from being restored to God and being blessed in your life while you follow Him. God has said, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. If you sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness and blessing. If you sow wickedness, you'll reap wickedness and destruction. This is not about work salvation to become accepted by God. It is God's rule in this world that He blesses those who trust in Him. And He brings judgment on those who will not. God is not deceived. His eyes go to and fro in all the earth. His knowledge is instantaneous, comprehensive, and infinite. Of every thought, word, and deed of every one of us here, all the time, all day long, everywhere. Because He is a spirit, He fills the universe with His presence everywhere. And it is my desire that you would believe Jesus' words when He said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And the whole Bible is filled with instruction and guidance and truth to save the young man and woman from eternal destruction in hell and earthly sadness and destruction of their own life. If I were to ask many to stand here and give their testimony, including some of your parents, they would stand with tears in their eyes and tell of their youth when they gave themselves to sin and drunkenness and unmarried sexual involvement with others. They would narrate how sin had destroyed their lives and brought them great sorrow and unhappiness, and how they lost any hope of redemption and change. And now they sit here in this place, boys and girls. This church building is full of such people, including myself, who will testify that God has redeemed them from their sins by the blood of Christ. He has forgiven them of their transgressions and cleansed them and washed away their sins and accepted them as a child of God, forgiven with a new heart and a new life. He has given them undeservedly a spouse that loves God and loves them. Undeservedly, He has taken care of them. He has given them children like you that see the virtues of your parents and admire them and love them. They are now surrounded by friends who pray for them, who love them, who would give their life for them, who are thinking about how to be loving and kind when we gather together, which is an oasis in the earth, a piece of heaven on earth, compared to the bitterness and evil of this world's men and hearts. They would testify that they have been blessed by God in spite of the sins of their youth. And it is their heart that you not go down their path and bring in the memories that are painful and the acts that are shameful and embarrassing, and the heart that has been so practiced in sin in its youth that it still struggles daily with those temptations once yielded to. Oh, young people, they want you to have better, to know Jesus Christ and let Him protect you from yourself. You know, you are not smart enough or wise enough to run your life. That may be an offense to you, but you're not, and neither am I. We need God's wisdom, and He has given it in His Word through inspired prophets and apostles and His Son. This is the way, walk in it, He says. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. God has given us absolute truth on which to build our lives, young people, and to turn away from that to our own ideas or our friends' ideas is foolish. It is casting the word of God behind your back as you go your way, pushing it out of the way, and refusing to listen to the God who rules and who made you. But He has promised that if you will follow His words, if you will believe in Him and submit to Him and His words and how to live, He will bless your life, both eternally and on earth. Jesus told His disciples, anyone who follows me and loses wife or mother or sister or brother or father or mother or land or farms in this life will be given much more, father and mothers and sisters and brothers and lands and farms, along with persecutions in the next, and following Him. God knows how to bring good out of evil. He proved it in Jesus' death and resurrection from death. And He is able to bless your life if you will trust Him and follow Him. And I believe that Jesus Christ has proven all He has to prove upon the cross, that He can be trusted. And that's where I look to every day, to convince my wandering mind that He is smarter than I am. He is wiser than I am. And I need His guidance each day, His words. The second burden I have for you young people, and honestly, I pray for it every week, sometimes many times a week, as I think of you and pray for you. I have a burden that all of you young men and women will find the joy of married love one day. It may not be God's will for some of you to marry ever, but that's not the normal will of God. God made Adam to have a wife, Eve, and Eve to have a husband, Adam. And that is the normal existence that God has designed for us. And I often pray that God will enable you young men and women to taste the joys of married love, where a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves and glues himself to his wife in unity, in intimacy, in friendship forever. And the two become one flesh. It is the most blessed relationship that God has made on earth between men. A man and a woman joined together in holy marriage as God designed it, each dedicating their life to love the other with all their heart, to use all the gifts and benefits they've received from God, to bless the other, to serve the other, to bring joy into the other's life. Instead of this selfish counterfeit of marriage today, I'm going to look for a person that'll make me happy. A person that will do what I want them to do. That will do everything they can to please me. So many have followed the counterfeit approach to marriage and found it to be a prison, with two selfish people looking after their first interests for themselves before the other. It is so miserable. And for a time, I have lived that with Debbie. In the first couple of years of our marriage, until God entered in and taught us how to love. We celebrate our 43rd anniversary in June. And each year, boys and girls, and I've told you, young people, because we are growing in Christ and learning how to love, our marriage has grown in love each year. You're not wise enough to run your life. And that's why God gave us Proverbs. That's why God gave us His Son and His teachings. Not only to just get rid of sin and get to heaven, but to teach us how to live on earth as people who love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. And in a special gift, to experience the unselfish kindness of a husband or wife together. You should pray for yourselves for that. Now this morning, I want to describe the woman of folly from Proverbs 1 through 9 in various ways so that you young men will know how to recognize a foolish woman, a woman you should avoid at all cost and not be entrapped in her web as a spider is caught, as a fly is caught by a spider. It is also an attempt to instruct young women in how not to be in this world, what God prohibits a woman from being. And secondly, this morning I want to try to describe the godly woman, the wonderful woman of God, the wonderful wife that blesses a husband with her great love and self-denial and sacrifice and finds great joy in giving of herself to her family and friends. One is a selfish woman, absorbed in the things of this world. Another is a woman of God who knows there are things above where Christ is that are more important than things of this world, like her own soul, like her own character, like using her life to make a difference instead of a destruction of others. So first, the woman of folly. And she's described in many ways in Scripture. But in Proverbs 5, verse 3, which we read in our Scripture reading, she's described this way. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she does not know it. This is the young woman, young men, that you are to avoid, to run from as fast as you can, to guard your heart from being attracted to, giving attention to, seeking to know. This is the woman who is unstable in all her ways. She knows how to use words to make you feel like a man. Well, you look good today. Oh, you're so strong. You're so good looking. You know, you're so smart. And she draws attention to herself with smooth words to entrap your eyes and your ears toward her and to try to capture your affections toward her. But you don't know that this woman's ways are death for you. And she does not think of God. She does not think of you. She thinks only of herself and how to manipulate others to get them to give her what she desires. She is selfish at the root of her being. But she knows how to use words to appear sweet and kind and attractive to you. All through the Bible, God commands men and women to be pure before marriage. For 1900 years, since the time of Christ, until 1950, the whole Christian church and church people understood that young men and women are not to become involved in premarital, physical, sexual situations, but to reserve marriage as an oasis of joy where a man and a woman greatly delight in each other. In other words, they understood that virginity is a virtue. It is a promise to your future spouse. And it is a hope for great joy in marriage that you have given yourself only to one person for your whole life. But in 1950, in the 60s, what is called the sexual revolution in America occurred. And the result of that is that young people today think that this kind of physical activity and involvement is normal. In fact, psychology for 50 years has told young people that's not a sin. It's just normal feelings. It's okay. And yet God's word has said, at all cost, do not commit adultery. Who are you going to believe? 50 years ago, people understood that this is how a young man and a young woman are to frame their life and avoid such situations that would compromise their marriage in the future. They understood that you don't elect a politician if he's a man that has affairs on the side against his wife, because that shows he's not a trustworthy, honest man. Well, look how many have affairs today in politics, and it's just passed off as normal. The nation was horrified when they learned that John F. Kennedy had affairs with Marilyn Monroe in the White House. They couldn't believe it. And it undermined their trust in him as a president. Today, young people think it's normal that their parents are old-fashioned or ignorant. But today, people question whether marriage is even an institution. But look at our society in the unmarried families. Look at our parish. Of all races, where children have been born outside of marriage, who may not know who their daddy is, who are bounced around from one parent to another, living with insecurity in love, and often developing in later years a rebellious spirit against their parents, choosing peers to be their group, choosing drugs and alcohol for comfort. So many times, the children of homes that are incomplete or broken or abusive grow up without the security of a father and mother's love and commitment to them, and an example of how a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man in God's kingdom. How far we have fallen as a nation. But right now, the divorce rate of professing Christians in churches is as high as those outside the church in our nation. You see, we've lost the understanding of married love and what marriage is. And we don't understand that the promiscuity of the revolution from the 60s has now destroyed the consciences of young men and women, and they've brought that guilt and that shame and that unfaithfulness into marriage and undermined the very institution so that a husband and wife rarely know the joy of a person who has dedicated their entire life to love and purity for them. Young men and women, premarital sexual involvement is evil in the eyes of God. It's a sin, and He will judge you for it if you do not repent. God said, "Let the marriage bed be undefiled and held in high honor among all. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Hebrews 13:4. And we find in Proverbs 5, which we have read, that young men and women who become involved in such behavior undermine their hope of a truly unified love between one man and one woman for life, a beautiful thing in the eyes of God. God has made us with the ability and the desire for that intimacy of friendship and unashamed love that comes when two people become flesh in marriage in every way. It's good, and we desire it, and that is right. But it is a great temptation today in our society to pursue the opposite sex before marriage, to become curious and addicted to pornographic movies and TV and magazines and music and the internet. It's easier to sin now for our young people than it was in my generation and days. They are flooded with it. And yet young people, each giving in to the temptations that are offered to you, undermines and defiles the marriage bed, robs husbands and wives of that exclusive affection that is given only to each other for all of their life. And it also creates a guilty conscience with your parents and anger when you're questioned about your life. I don't have time to go into the example of Joseph, young men, but just listen quickly. You need to be careful about being alone with a young woman. In times past, up to the 50s, when for 1900 years Christians understood the issue of purity and of kindness and a virginity, it was not permitted for a young man or woman to be alone. World War II changed all of that. That means in a place where it is possible for you to be tempted to cross the boundaries reserved for husband and wife. And that's why parents oftentimes will say to you, you need to do this or you don't need to do that. You need to be around friends and not alone together, because they understand that we are by nature sinful, and without God's help, we would give ourselves over to any sin in the Bible. And we must guard our minds and our hearts and our places. Joseph was put over Potiphar's house in Egypt when he had been sold down there by his brothers. Potiphar was one of the king's servants, Pharaoh's servants. Joseph became head over the household, and Potiphar's wife took a look at Joseph, and she said, you know, he is good looking. Day after day, time after time, she came to Joseph when they were alone in the house and said, come live with me. My husband is gone. No one will catch us. No one will know. Joseph, over and over, refused her advances. And he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? And finally, she came one day and took hold of him. And he did only what he could do at that moment. He physically ran out of the house, and his cloak fell behind him. When her husband came home, before Joseph could speak to him and tell him what his wife had done, his wife came to Potiphar and said, here's Joseph's cloak. He attacked me. And I had to defend myself, and I screamed, but no one came. And because there was no witness, Joseph's reputation was ruined. And for all the people knew, he really did it the way Potiphar's wife said, because it was one word against another. And guess who went to jail? Young men, you must be careful about being alone with a young woman. And listen to your parents' instructions, trying to protect yourself, protect you from yourself, and from the possibilities of misunderstandings that will follow you and your reputation your entire life. God's wiser than you are. He's smarter than you are, and he knows how to protect you from yourself, and he knows how to bring you joy. There are some characteristics of the foolish woman in Proverbs, and I want to run through them very quickly. And as I do this, you young women should think and say, boy, I better not be like that. I need to think about my behavior. You young men should say, this is the kind of woman that I ought to be able to identify to avoid, and before I get entrapped into a situation that is going to destroy my life and may destroy her life. Some characteristics in Proverbs 1 through 9 and other places, I think I have 7 of them. And don't get scared, I'm going quickly through them, are these. First, young men, her words reveal her character and her unfaithfulness to God. Proverbs 2:16 and 17. To deliver you from the strange woman and from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth, that's her husband, and forgets the covenant of her God. That's her marriage vows. You know, when we stand before God and we say, I do, most people forget what they said before. That this is a vow and a covenant to each other before Almighty God, to which he will hold them accountable if they break it. Forsaking all others till death do us part, I do. In joy or in sorrow, in sickness and in health. If she doesn't keep her words now, what makes you think she'll keep her marriage vow to you? If she uses her words to flatter you, to manipulate you, to get you to do what she wants you to do, what makes you think she will change in marriage? Wake up. Consider the wisdom of God. Number 2, she uses her outward dress and has an obsession with how she looks for men. She seeks to attract the attention of men in how she adorns herself. Proverbs 7, verse 10. Behold, a woman comes to meet him, a young man that's walking in the streets. A woman comes up to him to meet him. dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. Now, this does not necessarily mean in the dress of a harlot in that day, how much skin is exposed. But it does mean that it's a kind of dress that is considered the dress of a woman who's trying to attract men to herself, trying to catch their eye, trying to do the things that a woman does to get a man to notice her. And she's obsessed with this because this is her trade. This is how she gets a man to notice her. And the sad thing about that is that it reduces a woman to the cost of her clothing, as if that's all she has to offer. It reduces her to her external beauty, as if that's all she has to attract a man. And it's demeaning. It's demeaning to women, for men to act that way toward them, and it's demeaning for women to act that way toward men. For we are made in the image of God to shine with hearts that are loving and kind and gracious and sacramental, sacrificial. And that is the beauty of the soul that we are to give toward one another. 3, she's loud and calls attention to herself to get young men to be interested in her. Proverbs 7:11, she's boisterous. That means loud and laughing loud and trying to draw attention to herself in her words. She's rebellious. She's always going around carousing, looking for excitement, looking for something to do, people to be with. She does not stay at home. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home, Proverbs 7:11. She's now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks every corner because she's always looking for excitement. She's always looking for something to do. She's always looking for some man to attract. 4, she is forward in touching men and quick to give her affections to young men. So she seizes him, Proverbs 7:13. She seizes the young man who would not pay much attention to her. She seizes him, she touches him, she gets his attention, and she kisses him unexpectedly, because she is trying to attract him with these things. She is free with her affections instead of reserving them for her husband. 5, she's a religious hypocrite. Proverbs 7:14. She says to him with a brazen face, "I was due to offer peace offerings today. I have paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly. I have found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh as perfume, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses." You understand what it says, young men? She goes down to the temple and she pays her vows and offers sacrifices and gets herself supposedly right with God so she can now go out and sin some more and then come back and offer more sacrifices for cleansing. She uses religion to sin, and she is false in her professed faith. 6, she's obsessed with getting attention by flirting. Proverbs 9:13, the woman of folly is boisterous. She's naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places, calling to those who pass by, who are trying to make their path straight, trying to walk by her. She says, whoever is naive, let him turn and hear. Him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. She is trying to get attention with young men, trying to catch their eye with her eyes. She's always living, but she's keeping her eye on him as she moves around. Stay away from such women, young men, for it shows that they are self-centered and are trying to get their way with you instead of living a godly life, one day to give their life to you. One of my favorite proverbs is this one. Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold, that's a ring of gold, in a swine's snout, in a pig's nose, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. You boys ought to write that on the wall of your room. Engrave it on the palms of your hand. There is beauty in this world, for God has made it so. But a beautiful woman who lacks discretion, which means able to discern what is right and wrong, a woman that has wisdom, a woman that looks to God to live, a woman that is beautiful but lacks that is as beautiful as a gold ring in a pig's nose. There's just something about it that doesn't look right. Wake up, young men. And seventh, she is possessive of the young man's attention. I discovered, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:26, more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets. More bitter than death, whose hands are chains. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. God has spoken, young men and young women. Girls, do not be this way. If you are, you must repent of these kinds of behavior and go to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and mercy and be cleansed and forgiven and start over. Start over with him. Love him. Live for him. Be a woman of grace and love, a woman of kindness and mercy, a woman who is a virtuous woman that any Christian young man would look at and say, that is the kind of woman I want to live the rest of my life with, for she loves God more than me and anything else. She is wanting to be loving and kind and joyful because she loves God. And that's going to last. And young men, you need to not only learn how to discern the evil woman, but the good woman. And if you have sought the woman of folly and sinned against her, you must ask forgiveness of God and be cleansed through the blood shed of Jesus Christ. It's that sinful. And if you've sinned against that young woman, you need to go back and repent and ask forgiveness of her and make things right before God. Well, I don't have time to go through the other things, but let me just fourth give a short picture of the good wife. The woman you should recognize, young men. The woman that is the kind that God made for Adam. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. It is not good for a man to be alone. God has made us to desire and long for the companionship and the friendship and the love. A man for a woman and a woman for a man. But he made Eve to be that helper that actually it means fits into. She complements and makes him a better man and cures his loneliness. And in that same passage it says, for this reason, a man and a woman, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It was God's will for man to see a woman who loves God, who is not bent on selfish designs and manipulation to get her way, but is dedicated to God, to dedicating herself to making you a better man. Just as you have come to Jesus Christ and learned as his bride how you are to love this woman and make her a better woman. Oh, this woman is wonderful to be with. He says in Proverbs 5, in which we read, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. If you want to know the love between a husband and wife, what it could be, what it is meant to be, read the Song of Solomon and see how they play with each other, how they call each other most beloved, how she says to him, your legs are like alabaster pillars. And he says, your cheeks are lovely, my dear. Your hair is like the flocks coming down from the mountain. How they love to be together. Come, let us go away to the fields. Let us go to the vineyards. They went places together. They spent time together. They enjoyed one another immensely, because that was designed by God to be the joy of married love. There are many passages in Proverbs and elsewhere that describe the kind of woman, young men, you should look for, a gracious woman, a woman of grace and kindness and unselfishness. A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. She's a woman who looks to God to guide her life. She honors her father and mother, actually. She's concerned about moral purity and would not commit adultery. She loves people other people don't love and will not commit murder and be hateful. She's content with what she has instead of complaining about what she doesn't have and how she never gets treated right by others because she doesn't covet, and she's content with God and his will in her life. And she will not lie. She will not bear false witness. If she says something, you can count on it. You see, that's a woman who knows how to love. That's a gracious woman, a wise woman. An excellent wife, who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. That's the kind of woman that you should look for. And young women, that's the kind of young woman you should be trying to become, a woman of God, a woman who loves Christ, who has chosen him as her first bridegroom, who is seeking to live for his glory and trusting him to bring into her life a godly man at the right time. I fear so much that some of you young people are going to give up looking for, praying for, and waiting for a godly young man or a godly young woman to enter your life, and you'll settle. You'll settle for someone that has the appearance of godliness but lacks the power thereof. For someone that goes to church but they don't read their Bible or pray. For someone who can talk about God but someone who despises their parents. For someone who always finds something wrong with their boss at work, do you think he won't be able to find out something wrong with you when you're married? Character makes a difference. And the only character that works in a marriage is a Christ-like character, where a young woman is seeking to love her Christ, her Savior, and emulate His virtues as a woman: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness and self-control. And a young man is looking at his wife instead of using her as an object or ruling over her as a tyrant. He uses all of his strength and all of his authority and all of that he is as a man to present her to himself in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. To love her as Christ loved him is his goal. Marriage is possible under such circumstances. In fact, it's wonderful. It is a refuge from the day. It is a balm of Gilead in the night. It is a rock on which to build a home and a family and a future. Boys and girls, young men and women, you aren't wise enough to run your own life, and that ought to scare you to death. Enough to be humble and come to God and confess your sins of the past and start over today with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And trust Him, seeking to live for Him. In His time and in His way, He will bring across your path another of His children that's looking for someone who loves Him to spend the rest of their life with and invest all that they are and all that they have and all of their love to bring joy to another person in the name of Christ. Believe me, it's worth waiting for. But the only way you will wait is if Christ is more important in your life as your Savior and Lord than you are to yourself and anyone else. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Isn't that what you want to hear from a husband? Nobody like you, honey. You're the only one for me. The way you get there is by trusting Christ. And young men, the way you get there is by being a young man worthy of such a woman. Let's pray.